Well, once again, good morning, everyone. And Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Interesting that we talk about Christ being risen and what that means. But what is the power that allowed him to be risen? We're going to go through a little bit of that today, and we're going to start in Ephesians chapter 1. It says, I pray, this is of course Paul, saying that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know hope, very important, the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. We're asked to recognize this power. The power, it says, that power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. That power of the resurrection, that power that raised Christ from the dead, gives us hope. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that can be in each and every one of us when we receive Christ into our lives. And this power of the resurrection has been given to us so that we might have what is called a living hope. In 1 Peter, it says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his grace and mercy, he's given us a new birth into a living hope. Through what? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We have hope thanks to this resurrection. And that resurrection was because of the power of God. What kind of a hope is that? It's a hope that has been given to us, and it's a hope that basically, well, to be blunt, no resurrection, no hope. No resurrection, no hope. He died, Jesus Christ died, and he was resurrected so that we may have hope. And that hope is a hope for the future. Well, what kind of a future is waiting for us? We're in as Anne said in her prayer, we're in a part of time now where the earth is in decay all around us. There is wars, there's abuse, there's injustice, there's addiction, there's mental issues, there's harm, there's grieving, there's pain, there's suffering. We are told to pray for the kingdom because that is what brings this hopefully to an end. And it will bring it to an end when Christ returns. That's part of that hope. And when he does return, what's it going to be like? In Isaiah it says, see, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. We're being led to a time, the hope that we can look forward to, that when we are in that time, when we have that eternal life with Christ, all the bad stuff is gone. It won't even exist in our minds. That in itself is a tremendous gift. That negative memories, negative thoughts just won't exist, let alone that it's going to be in a new heaven and a new earth. No decay, no tears, as it says in the book of Revelation, no death. But it's not just a future hope that the power of the resurrection gives us. It's a hope for now. To live in this life, in this age, with all that is around us. Because Christ lives, because he has been risen, we can live. We can live without fear. And we can be certain of that hope. And Christ himself said, when he was saying to the woman at the well, I am the resurrection and the life. He is the one that we count on. The one who believes in me will live. We will live for eternity, even though we die. What a truth. He's saying, look, I will give you hope for now. In Romans chapter 6, verse 4, it says, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, by the power of the Father, the Holy Spirit, just as Christ was raised, he says, we too may live a new life. Not just a new life in the future, a new life now, because when we are born again, when we receive Christ in our lives, we start a new life. What's that life like? We can walk with Christ. We can walk with Christ and we can give him our problems to keep away so that and push those problems away. We can give him our burdens so that we can have a new life. When we're confronted with issues to do with our finances, whether it's relationships or relationships with others in our family or even at work, whether it's an issue with our health, whether it's, unfortunately, as we recognized yesterday, the death of a loved one, whether it's being a victim of revenge or injustice, whether we are living with an unbelieving partner, Jesus Christ gives us a new life thanks to his resurrection. That we can take all these issues to him. We can share them with him. It's interesting, we had, and I'm going to remind us, or Peter reminded me this morning, when we had our Bible study on Wednesday, we were talking about where it says we are to discuss with Christ, okay? We are to share with him. We to have a conversation with him in our prayers. And in those conversations, we can go through all these things that I've just mentioned because we have a new life where we can give these challenges, these burdens, if you want to call them, to Christ, thanks to the power of his resurrection. I often wonder, not that it ever struck me before I received Christ in my life, you know, where do we go when we have challenges and problems in life? Where do we go? I mean, and there are all kinds of opportunities for people to take your money or, you know, whatever, when you are confronted with different types of challenges. And it's not just that. There are many other things. But where do we go? It's interesting. In the book of John chapter 6, Jesus Christ laid out to the disciples that one day he would be resurrected and would ascend. And he was saying about how, you know, our flesh in basic terms is worthless in comparison to the life that is ahead of us. And when he told this to his disciples and many others who were around him at the time, some of them decided to leave. Not the disciples, but some of the other people that were following Christ at the time. And then Jesus asked the 12, the disciples, he said, you don't want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12, and Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Who do we go to? And he says, you have the words of eternal life. You have the words. You have given us the hope. They didn't know about the resurrection maybe at that time, but he certainly had given them instructions as to that it would happen. But they were confronted with challenges as we are today. Who do you go to? Lord, to whom shall we go? Who shall we go to if there is no resurrection? Because Christ has the power over death. We've already sung it. We've already read some scriptures about it. And because of his resurrection and because of our receiving a Christ in our lives, we can turn these issues that are in our lives and turn those things to our advantages. Because on Friday, Jesus Christ, as we remember Good Friday, his defeat gave way to what we can call today an Easter victory. Had he not been resurrected, his shedding blood would have been totally in vain. In fact, what Paul says, and we're going to touch on a few verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But Paul says, look, if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. But we are acknowledging the raising of Christ today. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless and so is your faith. We're wasting our time. If you do not believe in the resurrection, if you do not believe that Christ died on the cross, paid his the penalty of our sins, but was resurrected, and today now sitting at the right hand of God the Father, then our faith is useless. We're wasting our time, you know. Why is this important? It says, for what I received, I passed on to you. This is Paul talking to the Corinthians. Of first importance, Christ, first importance is he died for our sins. Okay? And by dying for our sins and being resurrected, he gives us that new life. What does the power of that resurrection do? We can summarize it in a few little statements. It says already, you know, no resurrection, no hope. No resurrection, no salvation. No open grave, as was read by Marilyn. No open grave, no heaven opening up to us. No risen Christ, no risen Christians. No hope, no new life. But Christ came here, and when he came, and he did what he was meant to do. He brought salvation. He brought victory over our sufferings. He has forgiven us. And we are being reminded today, not only that he is risen, but we are being reminded of that power of God and that our resurrection is guaranteed. It's the good news. That's what the good news is of the Bible, of the gospel. When the gospel is preached, as Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. None of us should be. And he says, because it's the power of God, that power that raised Christ from the dead, that power that is in us so that we too will be raised and will be with him. He says that brings salvation to everyone. That's what the gospel is, and it's to everyone who believes. First to the Jew and then to the Gentile. That's to everyone. What an incredible message and understanding, and so simple in many ways and yet rejected by man in so many ways as well. Somebody said to me once, and interestingly, as many of you know, we've recognize the passing away of friends, family, relatives, church members, family members of church, and so on. But one of the questions that sometimes is asked, and it was asked as well in 1 Corinthians, it says, did I get this mistake? Oh yeah, here we go. It says, If we're going to be raised, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? What are we going to look like if we're raised from the dead? It's sort of an obvious question in some ways. Like, well, if I'm going to be raised, do I get to keep my handsome visage? No, that's not it. That's not the purpose, right? We are raised, he says. Here's what will happen, and this is so cool. I think it's amazing. I don't know what we're going to look like, by the way, exactly, right? Okay, but in Corinthians, it does give us a great hint. It says, so will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown perishable, this physical body, okay, it is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. Our dishonor is our sin, but it's raised in glory. Our bodies will be glorified. They will be there. And it says, it is sown in weakness, but it is raised what? It's raised in power. That power of God that raised Christ. It is sown a natural body, and we will be given what? A spiritual body. Indestructible. Imperishable. Eternal. That's the answer to the question. Goes on to says, did I mess this up? Yeah, I did. Sorry. Okay, here we go. So, it says, when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, when our spirit bodies are there, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Who gave us that victory? That victory comes from Christ's victory on the cross and his resurrection. And then we can say, death, where is your, oh death, where is your victory? Oh death, where, oh death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks to God, he gives us that victory. He gives us that victory. That victory comes from the power of God. That big victory comes from the power of the resurrection. And without the resurrection, we would not be resurrected ourselves. Paul was incredible in being able to answer some of the difficult questions at the time, especially to the Corinthians. They were very challenging. But I think it's very interesting that when he wrote in what we now call the book of Romans, he summarized everything that we've just discussed and what we've been celebrating and remembering today. He summarizes it in one very clear scripture. And it's something that I believe that if we could just share this with others, especially family members and so on, and let them understand the power of God and the power of the resurrection. Here is this one scripture that we should all be aware of. If you declare with your mouth, if you say to others, Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Isn't it an amazing way of just compacting down and making it very clear that if you believe that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, we have eternal life. Father in heaven, we thank you for your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you that this day we can say, and to our friends and family and many others, and of course to our fellow brothers and sisters, your Son is risen. Christ is risen. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for this truth that by knowing and believing in the resurrection of your Son, our Savior, that we will have eternal life with him in the kingdom. And that kingdom is a place of no pain, no suffering, no tears. Something to look forward to, a time of peace, inner calm, no worries, and with Jesus Christ for eternity. We thank you. We praise you. May we not be ashamed in telling people Christ is risen, not only today, but forever. In your name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.